Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
Good morning, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN. It's 6:36, and a funny thing happened to me as I was just standing waiting for my sister in front of a building in, I think it was Buffalo Grove, Dave.
It was
Buffalo Grove, and there I was just standing there, and there's a snake right in front of me. It was a Burmese python.
Reticulated python.
And I said, that's a very good-looking snake you got there, which is something you hear maybe frequently. I'm not sure. I don't hear that very often. But and you said,
yes,
you're Steve Dale.
Well, I was loading the snake in the truck, and I looked at you, and I said, you know, you sound familiar. And you looked at me and said, how so? And I said, you sound like that Steve Dale guy from WGN. And you said to me, well, you know why? Yeah. I am Steve Dale.
That's right.
I thought that was just hilarious that I recognized who you were simply by your voice.
It happens. It's what happens when you're here for 22 years or so. And I'm grateful for that, incidentally. But I said, or you said, either I said, I got to have you on the radio at some point, because I hadn't, even after 22 years, and or you said it would be fun to have you on. Explain who you are and what you do with your traveling world.
All right. Well, for the last 25 years in the Chicagoland area, and I'm Dave Donasso, by the way. I know you already mentioned that, but we educate children and adults, anybody who's willing to listen, we educate them and teach them the proper way to care for reptiles and also stress how important they are to the environment and to humans. Now, the way you're passionate about dogs and cats, we are passionate about spiders and snakes and other creepy crawly things. And like I said,
What got you into this in the first place?
I was born to do this. I mean, from the time I can, you know, my earliest memories, I just loved animals.
Yeah.
And it sticks with you, I'm sure, as you know.
Yeah, yeah. And indeed, you go all around the Chicago area educating people. We'll talk about reptiles, what to have, what not to have in a second. Your phone call, sure, 312-981-7200, or you can text 312-981-7200. So there we were with a giant snake. You said it was a reticulated python. So my mistake. I thought it was a Burmese python.
They look similar. If you don't have a trained eye, you're not going to know the difference.
Yes.
But that is the longest snake species on the planet.
Mm-hmm. And people have those. So the concern I have is especially came up this past summer with the alligator in the Humboldt Park Lagoon. Mm-hmm. What's an alligator doing in a Chicago lagoon? And of course, the cruel part of this, and everyone knew it, if the alligator wasn't caught, it would never survive a Chicago winter, of course. So for me, it really does concern me that people are getting these animals as pets that really should not be pets. And I believe that's part of your messaging.
Correct. And, you know, the alligator posed no threat to humans. I mean, like you said, it was too small to really pose a threat to humans. But the sad part about it is it's the animal that suffers.
Right.
Because, like you said, if it wasn't seen, it would have just died. It would have, you know, the extreme weather when it got cooler out would have killed it fairly quickly. But,
And I don't know that there are fish. Maybe there are.
It would have been fine in the summer. And there was plenty of fish in
there. Are there?
Okay. Oh, yeah. It'll eat anything from frogs to fish. I think it was only 3.5 feet. It wasn't a very big alligator.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't going to grow into this monstrous size and start eating children that were, you know, coming to the water's edge.
Well, that's a misnomer. So I want to talk about that, too. I mean, I know from when I worked at the zoo, I would be holding I wasn't holding alligators, but I was holding snakes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, little ball pythons and things like that. And kids would come up, and they were naturally curious.
Mm-hmm.
It was mom and dad. And their expressions, usually mom, but dad, too, that would say, ick! Or, oh, you know, and then the kids look at, young kids would look at mom and dad, and they would take on their worry, concern, when otherwise they would just be curious.
You know, I tell
have
my...
Have you found the same thing?
Well, I think it's human nature to believe the cuter the animal, the more valuable it is to the environment, which nothing could be further from the truth. I don't care if it's a snake or a koala bear. They're equally as important to the environment. And just because an animal is not appealing to the eye, you know, it doesn't mean we should throw them aside and not protect them and not care about them. And that's what too many people do. So our message is everything is important. I don't care if it's a snake or a crocodile or, like I said, a dog, a cat, or a koala bear. It doesn't
matter. Well, if we didn't have snakes on the planet, I mean, I'm not sure how many gazillion. I'm not sure what the biggest number in the world is. I'm not after gazillion, if that is even a number. But what the number of rats would be inhabiting the planet if we did not have snakes.
Well, think
example.
About that. And spiders, too. Imagine if we didn't have spiders eating insects. I mean,
thank goodness.
You would not be able to go outside and breathe in a breath of fresh air without breathing in a mouthful of bugs if it wasn't for spiders.
And people don't know how many there are, necessarily, because there are a lot of them we don't see.
I can tell you they trap trillions of insects all around the world in their webs. I read something about that. And what's interesting about spiders is there's 40,000 known and named spider species on the planet, and less than 50 of them pose a threat to your life. And I'm not counting an allergic reaction. You know, some people have to carry the EpiPen, and any spider bite would be serious.
But there's only two spiders, I think, that are a problem in the United States.
Two in North America.
Yeah,
The brown recluse and the black widow.
Right.
Both reside in Illinois, but they're not found in the Chicagoland area. In fact, there's only six dangerous venomous animals in Illinois. You've got four species of venomous snakes, which would be the Massasauga rattlesnake. We've got the timber rattlesnake, the copperhead, and the cottonmouth, also known as the water moccasin. But most of those are found in the lower half of the state. The ones that are not, such as the Massasauga rattlesnake and small pockets of timber rattlesnakes, they're so localized and so rare, you could live in the area your whole life and you'll never see one, you'll never encounter one. So,
yeah. And the same is true for, you could toss in the two spider species you just mentioned. Most people never see either one of them, even though they reside in Illinois.
They don't. I find them because I look for them.
Most people don't do that. So I want to get back to alligators.
Mm-hmm.
How is it that someone can have an alligator in Illinois legally? And I presume the answer to that is you cannot.
You cannot without a proper license.
Right.
And they're not very difficult to obtain, at least not now. A few years
back. Is
that
part of the problem? People think that it's so cool to have them.
Of course.
Until they get bigger.
Of course. And that's the second largest reptile in North America next to the American crocodile. It's a massive animal. They grow quick. And, you know, you can't keep them in a fish tank, you know?
No.
And if you do, it just causes deformity. The snout kind of curves up, and it just gets to a point where you're overwhelmed. People get bored of things. You know, they buy one at the time. They're like, it's an impulse buy. Like, this is really cool. I want this alligator. And then a year goes by, and they're like, what the heck am I going to do with this thing? But because we do what we do, we are licensed to have
Of course
alligators.
You are. Mm-hmm. Right. But for people to get them as pets, I want to be clear on this. It's not a good idea.
No, of course not. In fact, you can legally own that reticulated python that you just talked about. That doesn't mean it makes a good pet for an 8-year-old kid. I tell parents, you know, it's cute when it's 15 inches. It's not cute when it's 15 feet swallowing the dog and the kids.
So, and they typically don't go around doing
that. No, they
that.
Don't.
But the question I have isn't only safety for the family. It's the welfare of the animal if people don't know what they're doing. So, you can get, as you point out, some snakes that grow to be very, very large, mm-hmm. and you can do it legally. I'm not sure it's always fair to the animal. If again, there are people that do know what they're doing, and that's fine. Most people, I would argue, do not.
Well, that's the thing. How do you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't interview somebody that walks into a pet store and know whether or not they're a good or a bad pet owner. It doesn't happen. You know?
Do you recommend people getting reptiles from the pet superstores or the pet specialty stores?
I think it's kind of an individual. It's an individual thing. Sometimes I'll walk into a pet store and the animals look completely healthy and they look awesome, and then you'll go into another pet store and they look terrible. So, like I said, it's an individual thing.
For leopard geckos and mm-hmm. things, in fact, that's a good place to ask you. So I mentioned leopard geckos.
Yep, great
pet
for kids.
Yeah, exactly where I'm going. So I get this question all the time. I call them reptiles with training wheels. You know, easier reptiles to have. What would be your top three?
Bearded dragon, if you're not familiar
explain,
with those.
Okay, I call species. Them the puppy dogs of the lizard world.
Right.
Explain what bearded dragons are.
Bearded dragons, an Australian species, they'll grow to about 15, 20 inches on average. Most of that's tail, and they kind of have that. They're called bearded dragons because they have those spiky scales underneath, but they're wonderful pets. They typically are not aggressive, and if you did get bit by one, it would be more of a pinch. It's not going to take your finger off like a monitor lizard would. So that is one I would recommend.
And when brought up at a very young age, they do become not only somewhat I don't think they're domestic yet, but there have been so many generations that have been brought up in captivity.
Right.
That's they might be, you know, the pet bearded dragons, not going to Australia and grabbing one, but the pet bearded dragons has been so many. They're actually bred for temperament.
They are, and there is a difference. You know, there's certain species you can almost tell that this one was wild caught as opposed to, you know, raised in captivity. But leopard gecko, bearded dragon, the third one, I mean, if you're going to go snake, I'd say a corn snake, wonderful pet.
Beautiful, too.
Yes, and it's not, it can't choke you out. It's they are constrictors, but, you know, they're too small to harm you. And
again, there's an animal, the ones that have been bred, that are bred now for color. Yes. And the way they look, there are snake shows where they actually, like dog shows, they actually show them, and the colors are beautiful, but they're also similarly bred for temperament. It's not going to be a puppy dog that's going to get your newspaper in the morning. The snake's not going to do that. But they, again, brought up at a very young age appropriately, can be... I'm not sure that loving pet is quite the right way to put it, but
I think more fascinating. People are fascinated with. I always have been fascinated with snakes, but you're right. You know, you can't take it for a walk. It's not going to do any tricks for you. But they just fascinate certain people. Like I said, you either love them or you hate them. I think that's reptiles in general. You love them or you hate them.
Yeah.
And most people hate them.
That's a shame. So we were talking about alligators. I want you to pull a gator out of your bag, so to speak, because I want to talk about what these guys are. So here's a very, and for those of you watching on my Facebook fan page, and we're going to show this in our post-show video, so it'll be a WGN Radio's fan page as well.
3D action.
Explain what you've got there. I believe, is it a he?
This is a male.
And his name is Axel.
His name is Axel. Now, this alligator was half this size just 2 months ago. That's how quick they grow.
Yeah, an American alligator.
American alligator.
What would you feed him?
You can feed him pretty much anything. You could, of course, go to the pet store and buy the small pinky mice and eventually graduate up to the bigger mice and then rats. But I'll go to Jewel and I'll buy catfish nuggets, or I'll buy, you know, chicken, and I'll just break it up. And eventually, I won't have to do anything to it. I'll just put, you know, a big giant turkey or chicken in there when he gets 4 or 5 feet, and he'll take care of it himself.
You use these animals for educational purposes. You have the proper permits to do this.
Correct.
This alligator, who is now what, about a foot and a half,
maybe? Yeah, about 16, 17 inches at most,
is going to grow to be how big?
In captivity, they'll usually grow a lot larger because I can control how much I feed it. I've seen alligators in captivity upwards of 15 to 17 feet and weigh over 1,000 pounds. In the wild, obviously, they don't grow as fast, and they'll average maybe 12 to 14 feet is a good average if you're down in Florida, sometimes bigger.
Now, mother alligator has babies because she lays eggs.
Yep.
How many are in a clutch?
About 24, and this is the only reptile. Now, I'm talking about crocodilians in general. They're the only reptiles to show a high degree of parental care. They'll not only guard their nest of eggs, they'll guard the babies for up to 2 years after they hatch. You go near a baby alligator and pick it up, it makes that, I don't know if you've ever heard the noise it makes.
I have, but what
try
does
to
it sound
imitate.
Like?
It goes, that means, mommy, mommy, somebody just picked me up. Please come over here and kill them for me. And mom will oblige. I actually was chased by an alligator in Florida, imitating that noise. I just
really?
Saw it. I was. Yes, this was in Alabama.
Do that noise
not
again?
Florida, it was in Alabama. It goes, I could do it better when I'm when I'm really trying, but
that's good.
It's too early to do that noise. But this one used to do it, but now it kind of looks at me, either thinks I'm an alligator, he's human, one of the two. So he doesn't chirp anymore because he doesn't feel threatened by me. He's perfectly comfortable. And the only reason I have that band on his mouth is because legally you have to. By law, You have to have a band on the alligator's mouth. Doesn't matter how small it is or how big it is, you have to have the band. So
I don't think that's a bad idea.
No, it's not, especially when you're having kids pet them. You don't even want a little alligator.
And the purpose of you is to use these animals for education so people understand how wonderful and precious they are, but hopefully understand wonderful and precious outside in the wild, not in your home.
These are not native to Illinois. And most of the animals we bring to shows are not native to Illinois. So it's kind of a general way of educating people about reptiles and amphibians, not only in Illinois, not only in the United States, but all around the world.
All right. I think I have 150 texts here.
Really?
At least 5 or 6.
Okay.
Saying, Steve, ask about Bubba the alligator and or ask more about the alligator in the Humboldt Park Lagoon. So we will talk more about that famous alligator and Bubba. I know who Bubba is.
Yeah.
When we come back on WGN, the world of reptiles, Dave Navasso's world of reptiles. You've got a YouTube channel. I want to talk about that, too. We're talking kind of slithery things this morning. They're not that slithery, really.
They're not slimy. I'd say they can slither, but they're not slimy.
Yeah, where did the whole slimy thing come from?
This is my theory. A snake has no limbs, so it looks similar to a worm or an eel, and those are two creatures that are obviously slimy.
Yeah.
So I think if you've never touched one, it doesn't have legs, you think it's going to feel like a worm. They feel very dry, very leathery. I tell people they feel almost identical to the skin of an orange or a grapefruit.
I'll go with that.
A large
All right,
one.
Let's go through some of the text questions here.
All right.
Do you know Bubba the Alligator?
I do. Bubba the Alligator is owned by Jim Nessie. Jim Nessie...
Been around for a while.
He's been around. You know, I think he's been doing shows since 1970-something. So, and I hear, rumor has it, that Jim is retiring at the end of the year and moving to Florida, of all places. So, but I've been around for about 25 years. He's probably got at least 20 years on me, so he's kind of the original reptile guy in the Chicagoland area. A lot of respect for Jim Nessie, and Bubba's that giant alligator that he brings to shows, and you know, occasionally he'll let someone ride it. So it's been a big thing in Chicago.
The alligator in the Humboldt Park Lagoon, did they find the person who dumped the alligator in there?
They did not, and I'm kind of surprised because people talk. I was waiting for DNR to put a reward out because I think they spent a lot of money trying to catch that alligator.
Mm-hmm.
But you never know. I mean, someone might say something and the person might get caught, but it's been, what, 2 or 3 months now, so maybe he'll never get caught.
Yeah. Advice about choosing a reptile you mentioned for children. How about for adults? I don't know if it's any different. If it's a first time, I think the ones you gave are good ones.
No, if it's a first time, and usually, you know, adults, if you didn't like reptiles when you were younger, you're not getting one as an adult, but I guess that could happen.
Yeah.
I tell people, if they go to a pet store, ask the manager of the store to feed the animal. If an animal eats, it's likely healthy. And then you want to do just a visual inspection. You want to make sure it has all its toes. You don't want to see any fluids coming out of the nostrils or out of the eyes or ears. But feeding it, and also never pick the animal that's sitting back there looking all sad. You know, kids want to pick the one that's not moving. They think that's the friendly one. If it's not trying to bite you, scratch you, and get away from you, it's not doing what it's supposed to do. So I'll put my hand in a tank, and the one that's most aggressive, that's the one I want.
Tell me about your YouTube channel.
Jeremy Talby, he's my right-hand guy here. He's my employee, and we started a YouTube channel called Nature in Your Face, and we have been traveling all over the U.S. and even out of the country and putting together really fun educational videos without the sensationalism. There is no jumping on the alligator's back and wrestling it and getting bit or stung. Nothing against anybody who does that, but we are more focused on the educational part. So if anybody's interested, Nature in Your Face, it's really cool. Like and subscribe. Hit the notification bell.
Let's say operating a senior citizen center or a school of some kind and want traveling reptiles, can they reach out to you?
They can. Yeah, we have a really cool phone number, 888-SLITHER. How do you like that?
I like it.
Easy to get in touch with.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to meet you in the studio. And I appreciate you getting up so early in the morning. I appreciate meeting Axel this morning, the alligator, the American alligator. And I thank you for the education work you do. I think it's important.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate you guys having us. It was a lot of fun, and I'd come back anytime. So thank you, Steve.
All right. Thanks, Dave.